الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We begin this evening seeking the help and the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a new treatise by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, and he has entitled it Masail al-Jahiliyyah. Masail al-Jahiliyyah, the affairs of the days of ignorance. Also, it is known as al-Masail allati khalafa fiha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahla al-Jahiliyyah, ahla al-Jahiliyyah, the affairs in which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he had opposed with regards to the people of al-Jahiliyyah, the affairs that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opposed from that which the people of al-Jahiliyyah were upon. So this is an issue clarifying the evils and the falsehood of that which the people were upon before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Masail al-Jahiliyyah. Before we begin reading the treatise, we take a brief introduction to study some of these terms here. Al-Jahiliyyah, the people of knowledge, they mention al-Jahiliyyah lugatan masdarun sina'i. Masdarun sina'i, that it is a masdar. And it's makhudhun min al-jahil. It is derived from al-jahil. Al-Jahiliyyah linguistically is derived from al-jahil. And al-jahil, it means ignorance. Linguistically, it means ignorance, but it could be used in a number of different contexts to refer to different types of ignorance. You say jahila fulanun, jahila yajhalu, jahila fulanun yajhalu jahalan wa jahalatan, yani that he was ignorant. Jahila fulanun al-mas'alata, yani that a person, he was ignorant of a particular affair. أو جاهل عليه, he acted in a manner of ignorance, yani he acted foolishly, and he came out of character. Likewise, one will say as well, جُهِلَ عَلَيْهِ, yani فُلَانٌ جُهِلَ عَلَيْهِ, yani somebody dealt with him in an ignorant manner, yani somebody was acting foolish with him, and coming out of character, and being rude. And this same understanding here, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek refuge with Allah from acting like that, or from anyone acting like that, every time he would leave his home, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's been collected by Ashab al-Sunan from the hadith of Salama radiallahu anha, that she said that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would leave his house, he would say, Allahumma a'udhu bika an adhilla aw udhalla, aw azilla aw uzalla, aw adhlima aw udhlam, aw ajhala aw yujhala alayya, an ajhala aw yujhala alayya. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he would leave his house, he would say, oh Allah, I seek refuge with you. An adilla aw udalla, that I will go astray, or that I will be made to go astray. Aw azilla aw uzalla, or that I would slip, yani fall into sin. That I would slip, meaning fall into sin, or that I will be made to fall into sin. I will be caused or led by someone else to fall into sin. أو أظلم أو أظلم, that or that I would oppress somebody, or that someone would oppress me. That I would do an injustice to somebody, or someone would do an injustice to me. أو أجهل أو يجهل علي. And this is the shahid. أو أجهل أو يجهل علي. Or that I would act in a manner of foolishness and ignorance, or someone would act like that with me. Or someone would act like that with me. So the word al-jahil, it has a number of meanings. Again, in the verbal form, you say jahila yajhalu. Jahila yajhalu jahalan wa jahalatan. Jahila yajhalu min babi sami'a, ahsant. Min babi sami'a yasma'u. Jahila yajhalu jahalan wa jahalatan. Jahalan wa jahalatan. So sometimes this word is used like this, like what is referred to in this narration, to act upon jahil, meaning to act a fool and to come out of character and to be rude and to deal with people harshly and with bad manners and with lowly conduct and lowly speech, and to act in a foul way So this is something that is mentioned here. An ajhala aw yujhala alayya. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would seek refuge with Allah whenever he left his house, that he would act like that. that he would act in a manner of jahil, meaning coming out of character, being rude, or being harsh, or being sharp, or having lowly manners with the people and the likes like this, coming out of character, or that someone would deal with him in the same manner. So this is something that a believer, he would avoid. Yani al-jahil, he would avoid it. Yani whatever the intent from this word was, to act in a manner of jahil, any in a manner of ignorance and foolishness, and to come out of character, and to act in a manner that's not befitting, a believer, he would avoid that. Rather, he would seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from falling into that, or that someone would deal with him in the same manner, just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to mention whenever he would leave his home. It has come in one of the mu'allaqat of Amr ibn Kulthum, the mu'allaqat from those famous poems that were hung in the Kaaba in the time of al-Jahiliyyah, in the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one of them he mentioned, he said, أَلَا لَا يَجْهَلَنْ أَحَدٌ عَلَيْنَا أَلَا لَا يَجْهَلَنْ أَحَدٌ عَلَيْنَا فَنَجْهَلَ فَوْكَ جَهْلِ جَاهِلِينَ. That no one should act in a manner of ignorance towards us, or else we will act in a manner above them in ignorance. And meaning that if anyone tries to get foolish with us, then we will deal with him in a manner greater than that. Then we will act foolish in a manner beyond their foolishness. And meaning that any of this is from their ignorance and from their foolishness, that they're ready to act a fool with the people. If anyone acts a fool with them, they are going to act a fool with them beyond that. So therefore, it's a warning. The point is that this is from the meaning of the word al-jahil, and from the affairs of al-jahiliyyah, likewise, to act fool, to act a fool, and to be foolish, and to be rude, and the likes like this. But the people of knowledge, they mention that al-jahil lahu anwa', al-jahlu lahu anwa', that there's different types of al-jahil. There's different types of al-jahil, and in general, whenever it's used, what is it? It's used to refer to not having knowledge. Somebody who is upon jahil, or he's jahil, meaning he does not know. Someone who has ignorance, or somebody who is ignorant of something, meaning he has no knowledge of that affair. And the people of knowledge, they consider this to be al-jahlu al-basit. They call it al-jahlu al-basit, and it is a light type of ignorance. And this is whenever a person, he does not know, and he knows that he does not know. A person, he does not know something, he's ignorant of a particular issue, and he knows that himself. For example, if someone were to say, if somebody missed the witr, is it allowed to make it up? The witr prayer, is it allowed to make it up? If a person, he did not know, and he said, La adri, I don't know, then this is called jahlun basit. This is a light type of ignorance. And this is incumbent for the person to say, if he did not know, he will say, I do not know. I would say, I do not know. So he does not know the ruling, and he knows that he does not know the ruling. So there's only one type of ignorance. It's only one type of ignorance. That's why it's called basilt. Jahalun basilt. Yani غير المركب. Meaning it's not a compound ignorance. The second type of ignorance that people of knowledge, they mention, jahalun murakkab. Jahalun murakkab. And this is compound. Compound ignorance. And this is yani jahalun fawqa jahal. This is ignorance on top of ignorance. And in this circumstance, a person, he will be ignorant of something, and he will not know that he's ignorant of that thing. Meaning he will be ignorant of something and he will think that he knows. He will be ignorant and he will have no knowledge of a particular subject, while at the same time he believes that he knows and has knowledge of that affair. So he's ignorant in two manners here. This يعني جهل فوق الجهل جهل مركب يعني أنه يجهل أنه يجهل الشيء ويجهل أنه يجهله. And he does not know, and he does not know that he doesn't know. So this is two types of ignorance, and this is blameworthy. And this is, for example, if a person who were to be asked the same ruling, is it allowed to make up the witr? And he'll say no. And he based upon no knowledge, just upon his desires and the likes like this. And he, without having any evidence, basing his statement, just to speak upon ignorance, believing that it's in this manner. Believing that it is in this manner. So this is called jahlun murakab. Jahlun murakab. Because he's ignorant of the reality of the affair, and at the same time, he's ignorant that he is ignorant of that affair. And so it's called compound ignorance. Likewise, the word jahil is used as well in other meanings, like that which has preceded. And it is fi'lu shay' ala khilafi ma haqquhu an yuf'al. To do something contrary to the way, or to the rightful way that it should be performed. يعني to do something contrary to then to the correct way. يعني while a person knows he would do it wrong, he would do it wrong. And likewise, يعني and this is to come out of character, and this is to come this is to be rude and to be harsh and the likes like this, and to be reckless. Also the word al-jahl, it has that meaning of being reckless and being harsh and being rude. Jahira ala fulan, yani that he was harsh with him and he was rude with him, and he acted in a manner of ignorance and foolishness. He acted in a manner of ignorance and foolishness. Also the word al-jahl is used sometimes to refer to actions of disobedience. Yani al-ma'siyah kulluha jahl وجهاله, the actions of disobedience, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is considered an action of ignorance and jahala. And it has been narrated from Mujahid rahimahullah ta'ala that he mentioned, كُلُّ مَنْ أَصَى اللَّهَ خَطَأً أَوْ عَمْدًا فَهُوَ جَاهِلْ حَتَّى يَنْزِعَ عَنِ الذَّنْبِ, that everyone who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is jahil, whether he did it on purpose or on accident. Whether he did it on purpose or on accident. كُلُّ مَنْ عَصَى اللَّهَ خَطَأً أَوْ عَمْدًا فَهُوَ جَاهِلْ حَتَّى يَنْزِعَ عَنِ الذَّنْبِ, that every individual who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on accident or intentionally, then he is ignorant. Then he is ignorant. فَهُوَ جَاهِلٌ, then he is ignorant until he leaves that sin. Until he leaves and turns away from that sin. Likewise, it has been narrated from Qatada, rahimahullah. He says, اجتمع أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فرأوا أن كل شيء عصي الله به فهو جهالة عمدا كان أو غيره عمدا كان أو غيره. That the companions of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, they had gathered and they have found that everything that Allah has disobeyed by way of is considered جهالة. It's considered jahala. It's a type of ignorance. It is a type of ignorance, whether it happened on purpose or other than that. Any of these narrations here are mentioned by Abdul Razak in his tafsir. And likewise, Ibn Kathir, he transmitted them in the interpretation of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا تَوْبَةُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَ ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned that the repentance, it will only be allowed for those who work evil upon jahala. Upon jahala, and then they repent quickly after that. And then they repent quickly after that. So the people of knowledge, they mention here with regards to the jahala, what is intended? Every type of action of disobedience. And everyone who disobeys Allah, then he's ignorant. Whether he did it on accident or did it on purpose. Whether if he did it on purpose, he's even more ignorant. He's even more ignorant. The people of knowledge, they say, إِن كُنْتَ لَا تَدْرِي فَتِلْكَ مُصِيبَةٌ وَإِن كُنْتَ تَدْرِي فَالْمُصِيبَةُ أَعْظَمٌ. And كُنْتَ لَا تَدْرِي فَتِلْكَ مُصِيبَةٌ. If you did not know something, then this is a calamity, especially in the affairs of the religion. Especially in the affairs of the religion. وَكُنْتَ تَدْرِي فَالْمُصِيبَةُ أَعْظَمُ. And if you do know, then the calamity is even worse. And if a person were to fall into something blameworthy, and then he were to say, oh, I didn't know that, then this is a calamity that he did not know. He did not know. We save all the questions to the end of the class. بَرَكَ فِيكُمْ جَزَاكُمْ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. That if he did not know, he fell into a sin, he fell into misguidance, he fell into disobedience, he fell into something that is blameworthy, that is not praiseworthy, that is not good. And then whenever he is brought up about that, he says, oh, I didn't know this. This is considered a calamity. And this is any from ignorance and from the foul outcome of ignorance, that a person, he will not know. And because of that, he will fall into a path that is blameworthy and no good. And he will fall into sin and transgression. But if he were to know that, he were to fall into that while he knows, this is an even greater calamity. وَإِن كُنْتَ تَدْرِي فَالْمُصِيبَةُ أَعْظَمُ. And if you did know, then the musibah is even greater. So in any case, whether a person disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intentionally or unintentionally, it's all considered ignorance. It's all considered ignorance. And another type of ignorance the people of knowledge, they mention, is عَدَمُ الْعَمَلِ بِالْعِلْمِ. عَدَمُ الْعَمَلِ بِالْعِلْمِ. To not implement the knowledge that one has. To not implement the knowledge that one has. So ignorance is not always simply to not have knowledge. Rather, sometimes a person, he will have knowledge. Maybe even he has a lot of knowledge. And he can still be considered jahil. He can still be considered jahil. He can still be considered ignorant. He can still be considered ignorant in a great manner. And while he has knowledge and while he carries knowledge, he can be considered ignorant. And this is what Al-Imam Al-Ajurri rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in the end of his work, Akhlaq Al-Ulama, that we had studied previously, the manners of the people of knowledge, the manners of the scholars. And he has a chapter in the end of that work. And it's entitled Akhlaq al-Alim al-Jahil. Al-Muftatan bi-ilmihi. Akhlaq al-Alim al-Jahil. Al-Muftatan bi-ilmihi. The manners of the ignorant scholar that is tried by his knowledge. And somebody may say, how could this be? A person, he's described here, al-Alim al-Jahil. فهو عالم جاهل في نفس الوقت في نفس الأمر. That he is عالم and جاهل at the same time. How could he be a scholar? How could he be a person of knowledge? Yet at the same time, he's considered ignorant. He's جاهل. He's جاهل. المفتتن بعلمه. He's tried by his knowledge. He's tried by his knowledge. Meaning his knowledge is a proof against him and not for him. Meaning his knowledge is a proof against him and not for him. And this is the case whenever a person, he has knowledge, but he does not apply it. He has knowledge and it's not beneficial for him. He does not implement it in his life, rather he opposes it. So therefore he will disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and contradict the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon insight and light. Upon insight and light. And this is considered jahala. And this is considered ignorance. So a person, maybe he's carrying knowledge, but he will be considered ignorant. Rather, he can be considered lowly, from the lowliest of the animals, like a donkey, for example. And this is what Allah has mentioned about those people of the book previously who had knowledge but did not implement it, and they did not carry it properly. Allah, He mentions, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. That those people who, they were entrusted the Torah before, meaning the Jews, and they did not bear that and carry that property, meaning they did not uphold that law property. Then their example and their parable is that of a donkey carrying books on his back. Any a donkey, any maybe he can carry lots of books. Maybe a person could pile a library on the back of a donkey and he could carry them maybe for a long way, but he will not benefit from them. So this is a lowly example. This is a lowly example of somebody who is carrying knowledge, yet he does not benefit from it. He does not use it in his life. He does not abide by it. He does not check himself with the reins of that knowledge. This is very blameworthy. And from the lowliest of the animals, and even from the animals that are used to, as a means to curse people, and the likes like this, and the donkey, the himar, waliyadhu billah. And this is the example of those who have knowledge, but they do not use it. They do not implement it. They do not apply it. They do not abide by it. They do not comply to it. Therefore, it's a proof against them and not for them. So all of this is from al-jahil. All of this is from al-jahil, waliyadhu billah. But what the author, he's talking about now, specifically al-jahiliyyah. Al-jahiliyyah, which is coming from al-jahil. Masail al-jahiliyyah. So al-jahiliyyah is the time before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was known as al-jahiliyyah, asrul jahiliyyah. And what is intended from that is the time of the days of ignorance, before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A great period has passed between the coming of Isa alayhi salam and the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this period, the people had gone astray and fallen into great ignorance and misguidance. And the people who followed the Torah, the Jews, the followers of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, they belied Isa alayhi salam whenever he came. So therefore they fell into ignorance and misguidance. They fell into deviation and they went astray. They fell into deviation and disbelief and they went astray. And those who believed in Isa alayhi salatu wa salam and followed them, many of them later on likewise, they changed the revelation. They changed and added to the book, and they distorted the Injil, and they added to that, and they brought the idea of a tathlif, yani the Trinity, and the likes like this, corrupting the creed and the deen of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, until the majority of mankind in this time and this period, they were in a great darkness. They were in great darkness. It's been narrated in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that just before he was sent as a prophet, إِنَّ اللَّهَ نَظَرَ فِي أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ فَمَقَتَهُمْ كُلُّهُمْ عَرَبَهُمْ وَعَجَمَهُمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He looked to the people of earth and He detested all of them, the Arab from them and the non-Arab from them. إِلَّا بَقَايَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Except for a small remainder of the people of the book. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He looked to the people of the earth and He detested all of them because of the great disbelief that they had fallen into and the misguidance that they had fallen into and the evil and the deviation that they had fallen into, and he turning away from it, tawheed, falling into shirk, and turning away from the ways of the previous prophets and messengers, that which they were upon, and falling into these different deviations and innovations and different types of injustice and oppression. So therefore Allah detested all of them. Illa baqaya min ahl al-kitab, except for a small remainder from the people of the book. Yani from those who were still holding fast to the Injil and that which was revealed to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, a very few people who remained upon the pure creed that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam he was upon, and the pure deen. Yani there were few of them. There are few of them. So at this time, the majority of the people of the earth, entirety, they were encompassed in misguidance and they are encompassed in ignorance. And this is what is referred to from Al-Jahiliyyah. From Al-Jahiliyyah. But likewise, Al-Jahiliyyah, after the coming of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, still remains. But it's understood in a restricted manner. It's not in the absolute sense. The absolute Jahiliyyah had been removed with the coming of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yani the ignorance, the days of ignorance, whenever the people are engulfed in ignorance from all aspects and from all angles, this was removed with the coming of the light of the revelation and with the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there are some remnants of the jahiliyyah that remain in certain places and in certain people. So another understanding of the word al-jahiliyyah, or a more general sense, is everything that's contrary to that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon. Anything that's contrary to the way and the guidance and the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is from al-jahiliyyah. So there were specific affairs that the people of jahiliyyah were upon in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whenever he came, he opposed them in that, and he clarified the falsehood of that and the evils of that, and he warned from that sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he warned from that sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these affairs, some of them they remain in the people, and even some of them remain in the ummah, and some of the Muslims are even tried by some of these affairs. Waliyadu billah. And this is the wisdom from studying the likes of these texts, in order to know them and avoid them upon insight. Because whenever a person is unaware of evil and he does not know the reality of evils and the dangers of falsehood, then maybe he will fall into that, or maybe he would even prefer that while he does not even know. And even a person can become so misled and astray and far from the straight path until he believes that falsehood is actually the truth, and he will follow it and believe in it. He will believe that ashirk is the tawheed, and he will believe that al-bid'ah is the sunnah, and he will believe that misguidance is guidance, and he will be completely lost and wandering in misguidance, waliyadu billah, because of not having knowledge. And al-jahiliyyah or al-jahil, ignorance is like darkness. It's like darkness, and knowledge is light. And knowledge is light. And a person, whenever he has light, it will remove the darkness of ignorance, and he will be able to see clearly. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that this jahiliyyah, this ignorance, or these days of ignorance, or this type of ignorance, it all returns back to being ignorant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being ignorant of Allah azza wa jal. Having no knowledge, or having incorrect knowledge of Allah azza wa jal, and of His tawheed, and of His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. Not knowing who the Creator is truly. Not knowing Him in the manner that He has revealed to the people, to His prophets and messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Likewise, not knowing the path that is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Being ignorant of the legislation and the law and the statements and the actions that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And being ignorant of the affairs likewise that are displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. Being ignorant of the path that leads to His pleasure, and being ignorant of the ways that lead to His anger. All of this is from al-jahiliyyah, the reality of al-jahiliyyah, and to be ignorant of these affairs. And likewise from there, to be ignorant of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and of his sunan and his legal ways. Of his sunan and his legal ways sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So again, to summarize, yani the jahiliyyah, al-jahiliyyah is everything that is contrary to that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. Everything that is contrary to that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has come with. So therefore we see now the importance of learning about these affairs. The importance of learning and knowing these affairs. And either a person, he will be upon insight. So just as an individual, he has to learn about the truth, and he has to learn about the correct path. He has to learn about the good way. He has to learn about the obligations in order to perform them, in order to abide by them. He has to learn that which is halal and lawful for him in order to partake in that and to enjoy it. Likewise, he has to learn that which is evil. And he has to learn that which is foul. He has to learn that which is forbidden. He has to learn that which is impermissible. He has to learn the statements and the actions that are displeasing to Allah, and that will earn his anger. He has to learn that which is contrary to al-Islam, will bring deficiency to his faith and to his deen, in order to avoid that and stay away from it upon insight. Because a person, if he does not know about these affairs, he will not be able to avoid them. If he does not know about these evils and these ways that are contrary to the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he will not be able to avoid them. A number of the Salaf, they used to say, كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. How can somebody avoid and leave something if he does not know what he's supposed to avoid and leave? How can he avoid and leave shirk if he does not even know the reality of shirk? How can he avoid and stay away from innovation if he does not even know what is innovation? How can he avoid the major sins and he has no clue what are major sins? He's not able to differentiate between a major sin and a minor sin. He's not able to differentiate between a major sin and a minor sin. And he's so, كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. How can somebody fear something, avoid it, and stay away from it if he does not know what it is? So therefore, it's incumbent to learn about evil. It's incumbent and an obligation to learn about evil in detail in order to avoid it and stay away from it. And the poet, he would say, عَرَفْتُ شَرَّ لَا لِشَّرِّ لَكِنْ لِتَوَقِيهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفِ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعْ فِيهِ. That I learned about the evil, not for the sake of evil, but in order to avoid it and to be safe from it. And whoever does not know the difference between evil and good, then he will fall into it. Many people who ascribe to Islam today, and they make the shahada, and they make tahara, and they pray, and they give charity, and they fast, and they make hajj, they call on others besides Allah Azza wa Jal. They call on others besides Allah Azza wa Jal. In their salat, they call on others besides Allah Azza wa Jal. They make hajj and they call on others besides Allah Azza wa Jal. While they're fasting, they make dua and they seek refuge and relief from others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that this is pleasing to Allah, believing that this is a good way, the good path. Others, they're praying in a manner they believe is good, and it's not good. It's not correct. They're falling into prohibitions in their prayer and doing things improperly because they have no knowledge while they think they know. So if a person, he does not have knowledge, then he will fall into something that is not praiseworthy. He will fall into a bad path in a bad way. He'll be tried. He'll be tried because of his ignorance. And the people who are ignorant, then they're misled easily. And they're like prey for the shaitan. And they're like prey for the people of falsehood and the people of evil. And the people of desires, they're able to mislead them and to misguide them and to manipulate them and to use them easily like nothing and take advantage of them. Because of their ignorance. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Because of their ignorance. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is something that is known. And it's been narrated by حُذَيْفَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ that he used to say, كَانَ النَّاسِ يَسَلُونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي. That the people, they used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the good, but I used to ask him about the evil, afraid that it will catch up with me, and afraid that I will fall into it. And not meaning that the people only asked about good and never asked about evil, but the majority of the time the people were asking about good. And not meaning likewise that he never asked about good, radiallahu anhu, but he asked about evil a lot more than others, because he was afraid of this affair, and he was aware of this affair, Hudhayfa. Radiallahu anhu. He says, مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي. مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي. They are afraid that it will catch up with me. So a believer, he has to be afraid that he will fall into evil. And likewise, Ibrahim, Khalil al-Rahman, alayhi salam, he used to make dua and supplicate to Allah and call on him to save him from evil and to save him from the greatest evil, him and his children. وَجُنُوبِنِي وَبَنِيَ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ أَلَسْنَامَ. He was called on Allah Azza wa Jal, and he would ask him, Oh Allah, take me and my children far away from worshipping the idols, and it to take us away from shirk. So the point is that he was afraid of evil. He was afraid of shirk. And if Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to be afraid of shirk, then how about the rest of mankind from the likes of us? We should be afraid likewise for ourselves and for our children. So this requires for a person to learn about shirk and to learn the details of that and how it occurs and when it occurs and the types of shirk. There's more than one aspect of that. It occurs on the tongue, it occurs with the heart, it occurs with the limbs, in many different manners where a person, he could fall into the web of shirk. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the point is to be diligent to learn about these affairs, to search for the evil in order to know it and avoid it, to search it, to know about the evil in order to avoid it, to be upon clarity in one's religion, in one's life, and to traverse upon the straight path, upon insight. In every aspect of life, there's guidance from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That which is good and the upright and the wholesome way, and likewise guidance clarifying that which is foul and no good in the lowly way. And in every aspect of our life, there's guidance. If a person, he is void of that guidance, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, then he's void of goodness. Likewise, or if he's short or deficient in that guidance, then according to how deficient he is will determine the goodness that he has. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sent as a mercy to mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you except as a mercy to mankind. And he was sent with light, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was sent with guidance. He was sent with beneficial knowledge. He was sent with an upright way and path, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But a person, he has to learn that way. And then he has to prefer that way. And then he has to strive against his soul to remain upon that way. So this requires great effort. And the foundation of that is knowledge, to remove this ignorance. To remove this ignorance, and then likewise to strive to implement that knowledge in one's life. To implement that knowledge in one's life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise, he clarified in his book the likes of these affairs. وَكَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, وَكَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ. In this manner, we clarify in detail the signs. And the signs and the limits and the rulings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed. وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. In order, likewise, for the path of the criminals to be clear. And so therefore, just as the signs must be clear and the obligations must be established in the manner properly, a person, he must learn about the straight path and the obligations that are upon him and that which is allowed for him. Also, he must learn about the ways of the criminals and the ways of the people of corruption, especially in the society that we live in, especially in the lands where a person is. And he has to learn about the evils that the people in the specific society that we live in are tried with. There are certain evils that are prevalent in the society, that are not prevalent in other societies. So a person, he must know about them. The evils that come in the internet, the evils that are on Facebook, the evils that are on YouTube, the evils that are on WhatsApp, the evils that are in the gatherings of the people, the evils that are in the ringtones, the evils that are in the cell phones, the evils that are in the workplaces and in the jobs and the opportunities for making a living, the evils that come in the schools and the likes. There's so many evils around us in the society that if a person, he's blind to that, he will fall into that what he does not know. And many times, if a person, he falls into evil, it's hard for him to get out. It's hard for him to get out. The evils of mixing, free mixing, the evils of having foul and impermissible relationships. Many times people will fall into the likes of these affairs and they will not be able to get out. It will be difficult for them. Or the evils of drugs and alcohol and the evil of pills. This is something famous and very popular. Popping pills, taking pills and the likes. Like, these are great evils that the people in our society are tried with. Many people, they get involved in them and they're not able to get out. And many of them, they do not get out. They remain addicted to them for the rest of their life. Or they will only be able to be free from the likes of these drugs if they're placed in prison. Or they will die in that manner. What do you have to believe? Oh, because they got involved in evils that they had no knowledge of. Or they did not realize the dangers of this affair. So from learning about these evils and identifying them and knowing about them is at the same time a warning from the falsehood that is there. And a warning from the dangers that is there. So a person, he'll learn that this is foul, that this is from jahiliyyah, this is ignorance, this is contrary to that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. This is something that's displeasing to Allah. This is something that's not allowed. This is something that leads to the anger of Allah. In order to identify that falsehood and to know the dangers of that, to oppose the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is very dangerous. It's very dangerous. This is called following desires. So in this life, we're tested. We're tested with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He's a test for us in a trial. And we're going to be asked about him in our grave. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, man nabiyuk? Who is your prophet? Who is your prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what does that mean? Who is your role model? Who do you follow absolutely? Who do you take as an example and role model in every aspect of your life? In every aspect of your life? And whose rulings do you abide by? Whose deen do you follow? Whose religion do you take and prescribe laws do you follow restrictedly? Restrictedly and absolutely. And this is the one who will be able to say, that my prophet is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the one who followed him absolutely in this manner, the one who followed him in his creed sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his belief and his conduct and his manners, and held fast to his law and to his sunnah, his legal ways, and obeyed him and did not disobey him, believed in him and everything that he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and everything that he came with, and applied all of that to the best of his ability by obeying him and that which he ordered, and by leaving off that which he has forbidden sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and by not worshipping Allah in any manner except in the manner displayed by the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is what is required. And as for those who oppose that, then Allah has warned them. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَن تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَحْذَرْ, let those people who oppose him and turn away from his command, let them beware. Let them beware, let them take warning. It's a threat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tusibahum fitna, aw yusibahum adhabun aleem, that a fitna will befall them, that a trial will befall them. Many times people are affected in this life by trials and calamities, and they're going through hardships and difficulties, and they're unhappy, and they're not content, and there are many things that they're not able to deal with, and the problem is coming from their self because they're opposing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so from the outcome of opposing the Messenger, upon knowledge especially, is even more dangerous. To know his laws and legal ways, and to know what he has prescribed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the limits, and to know the obligations that he has ordained, and by the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to know the prohibitions likewise, the limits that he has set sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then to oppose them. This is very dangerous. This is very dangerous. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ, meaning turning away from his command upon knowledge and showing no regard for that, disregarding his command, disregarding his sunnah, disregarding his laws and legal ways, disregarding that which he has ordered and that which he has prohibited, showing no concern for that. And تُصِيبَهُمْ fitna, that a fitna will befall them, that a trial will befall them, that tests and hardships and difficulties will befall them. أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, or else a painful punishment likewise will befall them. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, many households, they're in punishment, they're in pain, and they're going through agony and hardship and difficulty, screaming and yelling and fights and controversy and the likes like this in the homes. And the source of that is because that they have opposed the command of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They have established their household upon disobeying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and showing no concern for his commandments. Whenever a person, he builds his household upon the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal and holding fast to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, inwardly and outwardly, then many of those problems will go away. And whenever the problems do come, they will be solved in an easy manner, and they will be taken care of properly. Especially whenever a person, he learns the details of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and governing the people, and observing the masalih and the mafasid, and observing the manner and dealing with one's family members, like the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to deal with him. He used to deal with him in the best manner, and there will be troubles, and there will be things that would occur, and he would handle them properly. And the one who has knowledge of the sunnah, likewise, he will be able to do that. The point is the dangers that come about by opposing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whether upon knowledge or upon ignorance. So we see again that the title is Masail al-Jahiliyyah, and the affairs that the people were upon in the days of ignorance, meaning those affairs that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam opposed. And again, everything that was contrary to that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with. So no one should say, why would we study these affairs? Alhamdulillah, we're Muslim, we're upon the sunnah. Or alhamdulillah, we say la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. What is the need of studying the likes of these affairs and learning about al-jahiliyyah? The issue should be clear, because many of the people, they say this, they themselves are falling into the affairs of jahiliyyah. They themselves are falling into major sin. They themselves have fallen into contradicting the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly, even in creed, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, contradicting the very fundamentals of the religion. The very fundamentals of the religion. It has been collected by Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سَنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ شِبْرًا شِبْرًا ذِرَاعًا بِذِرَاعًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that indeed you're going to follow precisely those who came before you. You're going to follow precisely the ways of those who came before you. Shibran bi shibran. Shibr is this, from here, from the finger to here, a hand span by hand span. Vira'an bi vira'an. The vira' is from the tips of the fingers to the elbow. This is called vira'. So the shibr is from here, from the pinky to the thumb, when the hands are open, a hand span. The point is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that you're going to follow them precisely, hand span by hand span, arm's length by arm's length. Meaning that you're going to follow them diligently. Whatever they do, there's going to be somebody from you that's going to do that. حَتَّى وَلَوْ دَخَلُوا فِي جُحْرِ ضَبٍّ لَدَخَلْتُمُ. Even if one of them were to go into the hole of a lizard, that's called the dhab, then one of you will go into it likewise. Even if one of them were to go into the hole of a dhab, then you are going. One of you is going to go into it likewise. At this time, Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, he says, قُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَلْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى. We said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, are they the Jews and the Christians? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, فَمَنْ. Then who else am I talking about? This is amazing narration. And this is not just simple information. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's just not telling us that this is going to happen. Rather, this is a warning. This is a warning to not be like that. To not be from those Muslims who follow that way. To not be like those Muslims who follow that way. And in that there are going to be some from this ummah, they will follow the disbelievers, the Jews and the Christians, from them precisely. Precisely. Yani whatever they do, one of them will do that. To the extent that we see today that if a disbeliever were to celebrate Christmas and to have a tree in his house, you will find a Muslim doing the same thing. You will find a Muslim today doing the same thing, putting a tree in his house on Christmas. With light bulbs, waliyadubillah. To this extent, we see this to this day. Yani this is from the worst of imitating the disbelievers, waliyadubillah. If you find one of the disbelievers falling into the worst of sin, the lowliest of the actions, you will find a Muslim following him. You will find a Muslim waliyadubillah following him. So this is a warning not to be like that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, حَتَّى وَلَوْ دَخَلُوا جُحْرَ ضَبٍّ لَدَخَلْتُمُوهُ. That even if one of them was to enter into the hole of a dhab, then one of you would go there. And one wording likewise, إِذَا سَلَكُوا جُحْرَ ضَبٍّ لَسَلَكْتُمُوهُ. And if you go through that path, if you traverse, if one of them were to traverse a path in the hole of a dhab, then one of you would traverse the same path. The people of Nod, as they mentioned, the dhab, this particular lizard, it lives in the desert. And they say that in جُحْرُهُ رَدِي جِدٍّ, that his hole that he lives in is very twined, it's entwining and it's twisted. And it's a very, it's not a clean hole, it's not an easy path in there. He digs in there and it's twisted and it turns. Any indication that the person who's going to have to go in that hole is going to have to go through great hardship and difficulty to go into the hole of a dhab. It's not going to be easy. So even if a person from the people of the book were to go into this hole that is all twisted and has many turns, and it's not a good and clean, easy hole to go through, then a believer, he will also go through that hardship. A Muslim also, he will go through that same hardship and difficulty to follow behind one of those Jews or Christians in this manner. So this is something that's going to occur. This is something that's going to happen. Rather, this is something that we witness in these days. And this is because they are upon jahiliyyah. These people, they are upon ignorance. They do not know. Either they do not know or they have preferred their desires and they have followed upon knowledge. So this is something, again, you need to emphasize the importance of studying the likes of these works. Masail al-Jahiliyyah. The author, he mentioned 128 mas'ala, 128 issues, one after the other, that the people of jahiliyyah were upon. Before the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he clearly opposed them. He contradicted them entirely, and he opposed them entirely, and warned from these issues specifically. And he began with the most severe, the most dangerous, and then mentioning after that, one after the other. So the point is that these affairs, they are still occurring. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he emphasized that this jahiliyyah will remain. And some of the jahiliyyah will remain in some of the lands and in some of the people. Even in some of the Muslims. It was been mentioned that Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. Who knows who Abu Dharr is? Abu Dharr. Is he from the Muhajirun or the Ansar? Huh? Abu Dharr. La. Huh? Abu Dharr. He's from the Muhajirun. Abu Darda is from the Ansar. Maybe you mixed them up. Abu Dhar, he's from Al-Muhajirun. Min al-Sabiqin al-Awwalin. And he's from the first of those to accept Islam. Abu Dhar, he has a great high status in Islam. A high rank in Islam. And a high status with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and firm in obedience and steadfastness. But he got into an argument one day with a man. It's mentioned that it was Bilal radiallahu anhu. فَعَيَّرَهُ بِأُمِّهِ فَعَيَّرَهُ بِأُمِّهِ. And he talked bad about him and called him names. And he called him, he made fun of him and put him down by talking about his mother. By talking about his mother. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, عَيَّرْتَهُ بِأُمِّهِ. Did you talk bad about him because of his mother? And he meaning when he's saying bad about his mother to make him bad, to make him feel bad. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, did you do that? He said, yes. He said, innaka amrun fika jahiliyyah. So you're a person, you got jahiliyyah in you. So although the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had come with guidance and with light and with nur, with huda, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he removed the jahiliyyah, yani the general all-encompassing jahiliyyah, then there are remnants of that. There are remnants of that in certain people and in certain places. And it's greater in certain places than others. Like for example, in these lands, the jahiliyyah is very widespread. And this is what is the asla here, is the jahiliyyah, any ignorance. And any in opposition and contradiction to that which is pleasing to Allah. And in opposition and contradiction to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although there is khayr here good, there is khayr here also, there is good here also. Any of the majority of the affairs are foul and are wicked. So the point is that this remains. Even a person, maybe he can be a Muslim or even be upright, but he still has some of those remnants of jahiliyyah in him that he will have to deal with, that he will have to treat, that he will have to try to remove, and that he will have to check himself with regards to and strive to purify his soul and to remove those blemishes, and that his soul is tainted with these affairs. It has to be purified. And this is by seeking refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal and being sincere and truthful and striving to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by learning. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise, he mentioned in a hadith in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abi Malik in al-Asjai that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned there are four affairs from the days of ignorance in my ummah that they'll never leave. That they'll never leave, meaning they're going to remain. There's still going to remain some people in my ummah who are doing these affairs. Al-fakhru fi al-ahsab wa ta'nu fi al-ansab. Al-fakhru fi al-ahsab wa ta'nu fi al-ansab. Wa istisqa'u bin najum wa niyaha. These are from the affairs of jahiliyyah that will remain. And the ummah, some of the people are going to do them. And he bragging and boasting about a person's forefathers and his status and rank in the society. And likewise finding fault with people's lineages and talking bad about their lineage. And also seeking rain from the stars. And he's seeking rain by way of the stars and believing, having belief in the stars that they have an effect and the affairs that happen in the earth. And also a niyaha, which is waiting over the deceased. All of these affairs, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, they will remain. They will remain. So the point is that these affairs, they remain. Some of them that are even worse and more severe than this, they remain. Which to the author, he's mentioning the first one, which is taking the dead as intercessors. And this was the way of the people of Jahiliyyah in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These affairs, they remain today. They remain today. And also being divided and being separated and not following the orders and the laws of the land and the likes like this, and having chaos and anarchy and the likes like this. This is the ways of the people of Jahiliyyah that the author, he's going to mention and clarify. The point is that these affairs, they remain. And if a person, he's ignorant of them, he may fall into them and be tried by them. So therefore, to learn about them and to know them and to be upon clarity. And the more a person, he learns about al-Islam truly, and his sincerity, the proper learning, he learns from the proper sources in the proper manner, learning the foundations and the fundamentals and the likes of these small texts, time after time, book after book, lesson after lesson, any evidence after evidence. And then likewise, he studies the affairs that are contrary to al-Islam as well, learning the fundamentals and the foundations of al-Islam, and then likewise learning that which invalidates Islam, and learning that which brings deficiency and weakness to the faith from the major sins, learning the affairs that the people of Jahiliyyah were upon before. And the likes like this, a person in learning these issues here, he'll realize how strange al-Islam is truly. and the reality of al-Islam and how strange it is, and how strange the people of the people who are truly holding fast to al-Islam. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he mentioned in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, collected by Imam Muslim. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Bada'a al-Islamu ghariban." Bada'a al-Islamu ghariban. That Islam began as something strange. And even the people were in Jahiliyyah. The people, they were worshipping stones. The people, they were worshipping idols. The people, they were worshipping rocks. Or they were worshipping trees. Or they were worshipping angels. They're worshipping jinn. They're calling on the jinn besides Allah Azza wa Jal. They're afraid of jinn attacking them in valleys. They'll call on them and seek refuge with them. Or they were called on an idol or a stone. Or they were calling on the dead and the likes like this. They were upon falsehood. They were upon alcohol. They were upon murder. They were upon tribalism. They would have wars for years. They would continue for years. One tribe against the other. Simply, he's from another tribe and not from my tribe. They would get at him and they would try to take his life or take his property or to rob him and the likes like this. All because he's from another tribe. All because he's from another tribe. And even sometimes they will be brothers. The tribes will be brothers. Like is an example of Al-Aus wal Khazraj. Al-Aus wal Khazraj. And they were brothers. They were brothers. They were brothers. But then in the end they wind up having war for years, fighting one another, these tribes at each other's throats, at each other's necks, and going through great hardship because of al-jahiliyyah, tribalism and favoritism and the likes like this and other affairs. This is how the people were in the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was calling them, and whenever he called them to take allegiance with him, he said that the allegiance that they would have to make, that they would not worship anyone besides Allah, and that they would not lie, and that they would not cheat, that they would not steal. This is the allegiance that he is taking from the people sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you want to follow him and be from his followers, you have to pledge allegiance to him. The first thing, that you will not associate any partners with Allah in worship. You will not worship anyone except for Allah. Likewise, you will not tell a lie. And likewise, you will not cheat the people. And he was upon piety, he was upon purity and creed and belief. And he was upon purity and noble manners and conduct, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever the people, they're corrupted at the peak of corruption. At the peak of corruption. So this is how he came. Bada'a al-Islamu ghariban. Wasayyaudu ghariban kama bada'a. Wasayyaudu ghariban kama bada'a. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and it's going to return to be something strange just as it began. Just as it began. And this is what we are seeing in these days. Islam is something strange now. Al-Islam is something strange now. Islam in general. Al-Islam in general is something strange. And if you learn the likes of these texts and the details of the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, you will find that in Islam, the true Islam is even stranger and stranger. And those who are holding fast to the true Islam are even stranger and stranger. And those who are calling to that true Islam are even stranger and stranger and stranger. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Fatuba lil ghuraba," but have glad tidings to the strangers. Have glad tidings to the strangers. The people of knowledge, they mentioned tuba, shajaratun fil jannah, oh, hiya al jannah. Shajaratun fil jannah, oh, hiya al jannah. That tuba lil ghuraba, that the people who are strangers, they will have tuba. This is either a tree in Jannah or it is Jannah themselves. Meaning that the people who are strange, the people who hold fast to this correct way, this upright creed, the people who hold fast into Tawheed and making their religion sincerely and purely for the sake of Allah, the people who are holding fast to the way of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following his prescribed laws, following his commandments and implementing them in their lives, and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions in every aspect of their life, inwardly and outwardly, in the market, in the house, in the masjid, in the school, in the occupation, they become strange. They become strange. They become strange quick, and especially in the likes of this society. But the point is, they become strange even amongst the Muslims. Even amongst the Muslims, holding fast to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truthfully, in this manner a person, he becomes a stranger. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave glad tidings to those strangers. He gave glad tidings to those strangers. So those strangers, they are the same ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَهُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. That indeed those who say our Lord is Allah, and then they are steadfast and upright upon that path, they have no fear, nor will they have any grief. And no fear in this life, and no grief likewise in the hereafter. No fear in this life or the hereafter, and no grief. And no grief, meaning they'll have nothing but happiness and safety. They'll have nothing but joy. And this is for those who are steadfast upon the obedience. They are from those who know about these masail al-jahiliyyah. They know about the sunnah and the laws and the legal ways of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they abide by that. And they know about the ways that are contrary to that likewise, and that conflict with that, and that oppose that, and they avoid that and stay away from that. In this manner, they become strangers. In this manner, they become strangers. The people of At-Tawheed, they become strangers. The people of At-Tawheed, At-Tawheed al-Khalis, they become strangers. Ahl-Sunnah. Ahl-Sunnah al-Mahdha, the people who are holding fast to the pure Sunnah, they become strangers. Even those who claim Salafiyyah today, those who are truly holding fast to that way, inwardly and outwardly, in creed and manners and conduct, they're even stranger and stranger. They're even stranger and stranger. Many times people today, they're claiming that way, but they're in opposition to that outwardly and inwardly. Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah became something easy to claim. What claims? They will only benefit a person whenever he backs it up by his actions and his deeds. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.